Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast, and a happy new year if I haven't already said that to you. So if you are a week into dry January, congratulations, keep going. I really hope you're feeling okay. To be truthful, I've been really feeling really flat this week, and I'm 6 and a bit years sober. So if you are feeling a bit down, I think it's kind of the weather. I mean, seriously, I just need some sunshine. When are we going to get a glimmer of sunshine? It's incredible. If you are somewhere sunny, lucky you. Very envious at the moment. Need a bit of, just a bit of something to uplift your spirits a little bit. Anyways, stay connected, do all the stuff. You know how it works. I hope you heard the podcast last week where we offered lots of great tips for dry January. And don't forget, we have our fantastic ebook, which has got lots of insights and tips from the sober coaches that I've trained over the last couple of years. It's really great reading other people's bits of inspiration. I love it, even though I'm already sober. Because someone's always got a unique idea for something you can do that supports your well-being. And it's really worth a read. So if you go to thesoberclub.com, you'll see the little pic there of the ebook. It's called Sobriety Rocks, Top Tips for a Successful Dry January. Click on the little pic and that will take you either to the Kindle version or to the PDF version, which you can download directly for free. So please do that and enjoy some of those tips and ideas. And of course, get connected. I know I say it all the time, but it is the thing that makes the most difference. And, you know, it's about, because often people say, thanks ever so much, but I'm good. I don't really need to join the Sober Club or any other community because my partner's really supportive and really wants me to do this. And that's fine. It's great. I really hope your partner and your friends and your family are supportive, but it's not quite the same, because what can happen is when you're a couple of weeks in, and it's yet another wet, miserable grey day. I mean, at the moment, I don't know if it's just me, but it feels like it's dark at 10 a.m. for God's sake. Anyways, you know, it's one of those days, and you get in from work or you finish doing whatever you do, and you just feel so down. And the old neural pathways tell you that the answer to that will be to reach for a drink. And the cravings, which are thoughts, can feel so strong that it's really hard to get yourself out of that funk. And then when your partner or, you know, loving family member says, oh, sweetheart, well, you've done really well. You know, you've done 2 weeks. So you're obviously not an alcoholic. You're good. You can just have one and we'll just have one and that will be great. And it's really tough because it's not that they mean you any harm. They absolutely don't. They just don't get it. It's not their path. And when you connected with us in the Sober Club and you post that kind of message on our group or you reach out to me, the cheerleading and the support you get is very different, because we'll tell you in no uncertain terms, don't do that. Push through it. There's always another way. Surf the urge. Go and do something else. Let's keep you inspired. Let's get you through that moment. Let's just remind you that any amount of alcohol is toxic, let's be clear. So, why would you want to do that? And just another very quick reminder, I'm not going to go through all the tips again, but don't use the phrase giving up. Stop yourself, catch yourself every time you say, oh, I'm giving up for January. You really are not giving up anything. And it's so important that your unconscious mind understands that distinction. You may have seen a post I did in the week where I heard I tuned into talk radio and I heard Jeremy Kyle saying that he'd given up alcohol for dry January and possibly for longer. And they were having a conversation, him and the other presenter, about why he felt it was time to do this and how he'd even tried some alcohol-free gin and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, wow, this is good. This sounds really interesting. And then in the next breath, he said, yeah, you know, well, I've given up. I don't know how long it's going to last. You know, I'm worried about, you know, when it's the end of January, I'm worried how I'm going to feel then. And meanwhile, you know, God, I just miss my red wine. I thought, oh, please, seriously, it ain't going to work. It really is not going to work, Jeremy, because you're not going to have the willpower to overcome all of that conditioning that you've had for years, you know, 50 odd years or however old you are, it's not going to happen. We can't do this by willpower, and we can't do it by telling ourselves, I'll push through, I'll give up, I'll carry on giving up. We have to focus on something else. So the idea is not to use that phrase at all. Change it. Every time you catch yourself, just change it to, I'm going to focus on what I'm gaining. I'm going to focus on the benefits, how much more time I'm going to have, how much more money, how much better I'm going to feel, all the good, interesting food I can now start to eat, or the way I can start to look after my body and my mind, how I can get connected and find time for other things, how I can become more brave and happier and even like myself, you know, all of that stuff. So initially, of course, you will feel a bit miserable. I get that. Of course, those old neural pathways will kick in and you'll feel a bit sorry for yourself. But literally, create it till you make it. I mean, you know the phrase, fake it till you make it. I prefer create it. So consciously change the statement. Consciously change it. It's worth a shot. It's worth a shot, right? Change the statement to, I'm focusing only on what I'm gaining. It makes such a difference, I promise you. But do tell someone, please reach out. Please, please, please reach out. Join us in the Sober Club or just message me and I'll be your cheerleader. You can always follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. I'm very easy to find. So don't forget about downloading that ebook. Don't forget as well, in case whenever you're listening to this, if you are listening in the when it's just released, then on Sunday, the 7th of January, we've got a very special online workshop, Setting Your Intentions for 2024. We're going to really deep dive into what it is you want, whatever stage you're at. You might be sober curious, you might have been sober for years, but there'll be something, I know, that you really want for your future. And again, it's about creating it for yourself. We can design the life we want. We really can. So we're going to look at that and a whole bunch of other stuff. And special guest William Porter, author of Alcohol Explained, is going to share some stuff around how the brain works to support that. So with so many of us, particularly around New Year resolutions and intentions, we know what we want, but then all the old neural pathways kick in and we find ourselves procrastinating or just going back to old habits. So we're going to talk about how we can actually work with the neural pathways to support what we've decided we want to do. So that's all happening on Sunday, the 7th of January at 4:30 online. You do have to register for that. There's a small fee which goes to our Sober Club Give Back Fund. And you'll find all the information if you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. And that will come up for Sunday, 7th of January. While you're there, have a look at the event on January the 21st. I'm going up to Manchester to speak at an event organised by one of our coaches, Andy Blackman from After Party. So that's going to be a real celebration. We're looking forward to speaking at that event. You'll find the info there. And then into February, we have a Family Constellations Day in York. So everyone's always saying, oh, you need to get out of the South. And so I am. Manchester on the 21st of Jan and York on the 25th of February for our Family Constellations Day. It's tricky to explain that one, but you just got to trust me. It's really amazing, life-changing work. So that's all on thesoberclub.com. And so what for this week, I figured what I'd love to do is get us all back into health and well-being mode properly. I do still have some more dry January tips for you from coaches. I'm going to save those till next week. So when you're 2 weeks into dry January, you'll have another boost of well-being tips. But for today, I came across Leslie Kenny, and I just thought, oh, wow, her story is just amazing. And then I found out about the brand that she has. And I thought we have to team up. We have to do something on the podcast because this is just so unique. And I remember when I realized that what Leslie talks about is longevity. I remembered back to where I was at 6 and a bit years ago. And I recall one moment when I stood and looked at myself in the mirror in my bedroom. And I remember thinking, I remember feeling kind of desperate and thinking, I really don't like anything about myself at the moment. I don't like the way I look. I'm concerned about little health issues. I'm I really am nervous. I'm terrified, actually, of getting older. I remember that feeling. It was awful. I couldn't even admit it to anyone. And then I started thinking, well, you know, come on, you know everything about well-being. There must be something you can do. And I'm literally thinking, well, could I go and do a boot camp, or I could go and do a juice detox? I knew full well that I'd put the weight back on when I got back. Or, you know, maybe I could go and think about having some kind of cosmetic surgery, make myself look younger. Of course, I ain't going to do that. I love the whole natural approach to everything. That is not going to be me. I'm not going to be, you know, plumping anything anytime soon. So that wasn't going to happen. And I started to feel just panicky, literally panicky. And of course, my brain managed to skip over the elephant in the room that was, why don't you stop drinking, sweetheart? I managed to miss that bit completely. But I was very conscious that aging for me felt very, very scary. Everything, I wasn't looking any good. I knew that I was going to look worse. I knew that everything was going to go south. I knew that I would have less energy, health issues to deal with, just everything dwindling. Just everything felt really just down and just awful. I wrote a piece about it at the time, actually, although I don't think I admitted the full extent to how awful I felt about myself. And anyways, fast forward, I don't know, however many months, because I didn't stop straight away, of course. But fast forward about 3 months, when I'd been alcohol free for a month or so. And I can't tell you the difference. It's just literally incredible. I now I'm not scared of aging. Now I can actually like myself. And yeah, of course I'm getting old. Of course the hair's grey. Of course I don't look so good. It's just the way it is, right? But I'm incredibly grateful now. I'm grateful to be getting older. Who doesn't want to be getting older? What's the opposite, right? And so now I feel completely different. And I've actually grown to like myself. And that's something I could never have imagined all those years ago. I just could never imagine it. Plus, on top of that, alcohol actually is ditching alcohol is actually the best anti-aging hack ever. Well, every now and then you come across a brand that is just so inspiring and unusual and unique. You think, oh my goodness, I have to find out more about it. So earlier on this year, I came across Oxford HealthSpan when I was running my awards. I run, most of you know, I have a site called Imperfectly Natural, where I recommend all kinds of health and well-being products. And so I came across this absolutely fascinating company and these really unusual products. I thought, let's have a chat. And Leslie Kenny is the founder and CEO of Oxford HealthSpan. And we're going to talk a little bit about the longevity project, about the work that she does with Oxford HealthSpan. And very specifically, we're going to talk about some unique products that they offer. So Leslie, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's such an honor and a privilege. I've been following you for over a decade.
Oh, really? Oh,
no
wow.
One else. When I needed acetone-free nail varnish remover, I went to your website to find out which one to get.
I sometimes joke that I was doing this stuff before coconut oil and kale had their own publicists.
Oh, absolutely.
I was early days. Yeah, really definitely. Oh, that's good. That's good to know. So yeah, let's just dig into a little bit about your background, because before all of this, you sort of had some of your own health challenges and stuff. So if you don't mind sharing some of that, we're always intrigued as to, you know, the kind of lead up to the work that people do. There's always a story, isn't there?
Sure. Yeah, not a problem at all. So when I was 39 back in 2004, I was trying to get pregnant and was on my fifth round of IVF with donor eggs. And so no pressure, right? Mm. And I began to notice right around this time, it was just before Christmas, I was having trouble with my hands. And I was noticing that using scissors, I was cutting out Christmas ornaments, and I just had so much pain in them. I couldn't work the scissors. I was having trouble turning faucets and doorknobs and even typing emails. And I thought, something's wrong. Went to the doctor. And instead of just getting the nurse calling back to say, it's fine, it's nothing, the doctor called herself and she asked for me to come in for a meeting, which, you know, is
yeah,
never
good,
a great sign. No, it's not. So I went in and she said, well, you were right. And I suppose we patients like to know that our intuition has been correct. But she said, the pain you're feeling is from rheumatoid arthritis. And your test results have come back. And while we can give you something for the rheumatoid arthritis, and it'll be drugs that you'll be on to suppress your body's immune system, we also discovered something else, which is called lupus, which I'd never heard of. And she said, unfortunately, there is no management for lupus. And this is a progressive disease. And I said, well, wait a second. I'm in the middle of some extremely important work here.
Yeah, it's my exactly. How dare you interrupt me?
Yes, this is an unacceptable answer.
Yeah.
And I've got, I've got my fifth IVF lined up here. I've got donor eggs. Do you know how hard it is to find donor eggs from someone who is half Asian and half Caucasian? It's actually really difficult. And I just said, no, this isn't working. And she just sat me down and said, I don't think it's a good idea to try for a baby.
Oh, wow.
You have a good 5 years left.
Oh,
and basically,
wow.
And basically, I just thought, well, hang on a second. We went from there is no cure to all of a sudden there is a time limit.
Oh, God. Just to interrupt you for a second, how much do I hate that when the medical profession put a timeline on something? That would be enough for some people to just give up. Oh my God.
Correct.
I wish that could be stopped. I wish that whole concept could be stopped. How can anybody possibly know? But anyway, sorry, carry on.
So this was it. I suppose that she was trying to be compassionate and help me manage my affairs better. But it was quite a shock. And I said, but look, surely there's something that can be done. Can I do anything? I'm the patient. You've just been given this box of injectable immune suppressants. But what about me? Can I change my diet? And I think so many of us ask, can I change my diet? Is it possible that anything that I regularly put into my mouth multiple times a day might be involved in what I'm experiencing physically? And she just said, no, there's no connection. So I left and I was so horrified by this answer that I decided I was going to look under every single rock and I was going to turn them over. And that's just the kind of person that I am. And I did absolutely everything from Mayan uterine massage, meditation, trauma work to finding anti-inflammatory diets, and also finding a very novel therapy called intravenous immunoglobulin. I did all of what I just said. And I asked my doctor if I could come back within 6 months, because I said, what if this is a double, what if this is a false positive? And she sort of shook her head and said, not with these numbers. And but of course, it's your insurance. So sure, go, you can come back. So I did come back. And she said, when she did the consultation with me 6 months later, she said, well, I guess it was a blip.
Wow.
And I just thought, wait a second. Of course, I was ecstatic about that, but I just thought, if we rewind the tape, I could have just given up.
Yeah, well, most people would. Most people absolutely would. They'll take everything the GP says, literally at face value.
It's the word of God.
And, wow. And just to backtrack on what you're saying, how in the name of God can it be possible that what you eat, that your nutrition, that your how you look after your immunity cannot be related? How can that? It's just not possible, is it? That's a double negative. But I mean. It drives me bonkers.
It drives me crazy too. Of course, as mothers and as women, I think that we have been handed down a kind of oral tradition from our own mothers and grandmothers and aunts, where they've said, "Oh, well, if you've got a cold, you should do this," or chicken soup, or everyone has their own family remedies, right? And we know intuitively that there's just got to be a connection. And only now is the science catching up.
Yeah.
But even here at the University of Oxford, after the Second World War, I heard this from Professor John Stein, who is certainly one of Great Britain's leading experts on omega-3 fatty acids. And he said that after the Second World War and the success of the Victory Gardens, the university was offered, I believe it was £2 million, to set up a nutrition department. And when they looked to figure out where that department would go, where would you put nutrition? Would it be in biology? Would it be in chemistry? Well, they thought, well, maybe chemistry, but not exactly chemistry. And they went to a man named Hans Krebs, who was a Nobel Prize winner for discovering the Krebs cycle, how ATP is made in the powerhouses of our cell. And they said, you are in charge of biochemistry, and we think nutrition should go under your department. And he said, absolutely not. We know everything there is to know about nutrition.
Wow.
And that's kind of end of. Neither Cambridge nor Oxford have nutrition departments. Oh. So it's not just that we don't teach it in medical schools. It's that two leading institutions in this country have not looked at this. I think Cambridge now has a single person in nutrition.
Not only do they not consider it, you know, I mean, really, it should be the heart of everything, obviously. But also, you know, that even sort of feeds down, to excuse the pun, to what people are given to eat in hospitals, which doesn't even constitute food. It's not even food,
100%.
Is it? You know, if you go in the waiting room, you know, your cafe or your vending machines contain probably not one item of actual food. Purely chemicals in brightly coloured bags.
Yes.
And then the absolute rubbish that people are fed at a time when they need to get well. I mean, seriously, don't get me started.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Anyway, back to you. So when you went back, did you no longer have lupus and
rheumatoid? Exactly.
Oh my God.
I didn't have it. I didn't have them, which was completely shocking. So those boxes in the US, you get sent in the post boxes of these syringes filled with Enbrel or Humira. I had been on both, and I really hated injecting myself. You have to, and they're tiny needles. They're diabetic needles. So, you know, there are plenty of diabetics here. I don't want to say that this was such a pain, because obviously they live with it daily, but I didn't enjoy injecting myself in my belly. I just, you know, had a string of bruises. I'm from California, from Southern California. I'm going to go out and wear my bikini. This is, you know, it's definitely wrecking my vibe, but it just also felt antithetical to my philosophy, because in my world, my mother is from Taiwan. Both of my grandparents went to medical school at the University of Kyoto. From an Eastern perspective, you do not suppress. That's what these drugs were doing. They were immune suppressants. From an Eastern perspective, you balance.
Yes.
And so wouldn't it be better, I thought, to have my body at balance so that if there was an infection, I could fight it. Instead, I was told, take these immune suppressants and definitely avoid children because they carry lots of germs. And here I am thinking, I would really like children. What am I supposed to do? Avoid my own baby? And so it was, the whole thing was antithetical to everything that I believed in. And therefore, being able to reverse it was unbelievably empowering. And of course, I said, as many of us patients who are able to do this say to their doctors, would you like to know what I did?
Yeah.
And she just said, oh no, that's okay.
Oh, wow.
Next patient.
I mean,
right?
I'm guessing, in fairness, you know, in case there's anybody listening thinking, well, hold on, actually, I've got a family member who has that. I'm guessing that the immunotherapy perhaps that you I'm guessing it wouldn't be available to everybody, right? So it's not going to be as straightforward for everyone. Presumably you had to fund it privately, for starters.
I did. So intravenous immunoglobulin at the time had worked in clinical trials, i.e. in humans, with very small numbers of people, but it worked for reversing RA. And that's why I just thought, you know, why not give it a go? Now, I talked to at least one British immunologist. I talked to a bunch of GPs here. as well in the US, and everybody just said, oh, this is bonkers, don't do this, because it's basically made out of plasma from hundreds of people. And there might be prions in there. You might get mad cow disease. You know, you might get hep C. But I sort of felt like, well, there is no cure to this. And she's telling me, the doctor's telling me, I have 5 years. So at least if I'm proactive, I feel like I'm in control to an extent. Why not, right? I may as well roll the dice. Since that time, there have been many other studies done showing that it works. And although I paid $24,000 for two of those transfusions, I have calculated I would have spent over $1 million by now on these immune suppressing drugs. They stop working at a certain point, and then you go on chemo drugs. Methotrexate is what most people go on. And once you go on methotrexate as a woman, it destroys your fertility. So I look back and I think, as a society, should we not be looking at this? Because $24,000, years of heartache saved, baby brought into the world naturally later that was healthy, versus over $1 million spent. Impossibility of fertility and continued fear and pain throughout that time.
So what a story. So you did go on to have a baby.
I did, at age 43.
Fantastic.
I did.
Amazing.
Completely naturally. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And yeah, it was fantastic. So in between, my husband and I adopted a little girl from China as well.
Amazing.
It was quite something. So when you have a personal journey like that, and I'm sure many of your listeners have had those journeys, and you yourself, you are empowered. You know, there is another way. It's sort of like seeing the man, you know, the man behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. The Great Oz is actually just a man, right?
Yes.
And I just thought, I can never unsee or unlearn what I have just discovered.
Exactly. And did you stop drinking as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I stopped drinking. To be honest, I never really drank. And that's a very personal story, because I'm the adult child of an alcoholic. And having, you know, I often think sometimes I raised my father. But because my parents were divorced, so I lived with him alone. And that was really, really difficult to see someone start the day with vodka.
Yeah.
So I've always had a mixed relationship with alcohol. When I take it, I don't know if it's psychosomatic, but I feel like I'm not having fun. I feel like I've been poisoned.
Well, because you have.
Because you have, exactly.
That must have been very tough to see that with your dad. It's interesting because, you know, I've had guests on the podcast who are children of alcoholic parents, and it actually can go kind of either way, interestingly. Some people don't, you know, they really can see it for what it is, and they choose not to drink. And then there are other people that it's almost as though they feel they have to drink to be able to cope. But of course, part of them thinks, well, I'm different because I've got an off switch, until they haven't, you know. So
correct.
But there's always a lot of trauma there with parents who are alcoholics. Very, very, very tough.
100%. And I think that looking back and having now read the science, in particular, the book by Professor Christopher Palmer from Harvard Med School called Brain Energy, which looks at how, speaking of acetate, you and I at the beginning of this, I said how grateful I was to meet you because I had gone to your website to look for acetone-free nail varnish. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that in alcohol, there's acetate.
Or yeah.
The brain can actually turn that into energy.
It turns into, exactly.
Yeah. And so, in fact, when an alcoholic reaches for alcohol first thing in the morning, it's because they know at least they need an hour to accomplish something.
Yeah.
And they can do that for 1 hour before the wheels fall off.
Well, the body's very clever, isn't it? You know, it's doing its best to keep us alive. So it does, you know, it produces, I've once heard someone describe it as, you know, the body sort of produces its antitoxins to just have, okay, here you go. I'll give you more of this. I'll let you keep going. It's okay. I'll let you keep going.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, for in quite a long time often, but you know, until it crashes and burns, until it doesn't anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. So I do think there, you know, I wish there was a recognition more widely of the fact that many of these people don't actively want to be alcoholics.
Of course not.
Right. But it is addiction is just so part of the first part of that addiction is it embraces function. If I just have that hit, I will actually be able to function, and they can. And then, like I said, it just, it all turns to custard. But yes, my relationship with alcohol is pretty, straightforward. I've never really been able to do it.
Well, I would reframe that and say, I'm lucky that I don't drink. It's not a case of being able to do it. You don't want to do it. Why would you want to do that?
Agreed.
Yeah. But so you then kind of, with all of this experience, you became a health coach and really studied all of this stuff so that you could help others, I guess, because I'm guessing by now you're feeling quite evangelical.
Yeah. Oh, completely evangelical. And it just, you know, it irritates me. It not just irritates, it completely inflames and enrages me when I meet patients who, you know, women who miscarry at 5 months because their thyroids haven't been treated properly, or they're just on, some women don't do well on just levothyroxine. They don't convert it into the bioactive thyroid hormone. So there's that. When I meet people who have been told there is no other way, forget about nutrition, that enrages me. When I meet people who are, you know, who are dealing with alcoholism in their families, and the resources are, well, it's the 12-step program or no
nothing.
Other way.
Exactly.
And so these things bother me so much, because we are in the 21st century, right? We should be a bit more advanced in our thinking. I think one of the missing puzzle pieces is metabolism. And when you have a better handle on that, it's not just a missing puzzle piece, it's a huge missing puzzle piece. It unlocks so many different things, whether that's the ketogenic diet for alcoholics, or again, finding the right kind of thyroid hormone for those who are hypothyroid, or finding, you know, anti-inflammatory diets and interventions like I use to reverse my autoimmune conditions. All these things we know about, but they need to be more widely known about.
Yeah, they do. And you know, we started by, you know, when you said that first of all, you were given the diagnosis of early onset, you know, arthritis.
Yeah.
Now, again, you know, it's an area where there are so many things that people can do to help themselves with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's always instantly curable, but there's so much people can do rather than just accepting that diagnosis and taking a load of drugs, because nutritionally there's so much you can do to help reduce inflammation and pain and you know, joint pain and all the rest of it. So much.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyways, yeah, we could talk for hours, couldn't we? So tell us a little bit about how you came to become the founder of Oxford HealthSpan, and tell us about, you know, how you made the decision to create these unique products.
Sure. Well, I was living in Oxford, England. My husband is originally from Oxford, and thought this was a great place to have kids. While picking up the kids at the school playground, fell into conversation with parents, as you do, discovered that many of the parents were scientists here at Oxford, and was intrigued by their work. And when I would ask what they were working on, let's say it's transcranial brain stimulation, electrical stimulation of the brain for depression, I would say, hey, that's really exciting. How can my friends make use of that? I think I know somebody who could benefit from transcranial electrostimulation. And they would say, oh, no, this is just for publication. It's not available. Right. And I'd say, what's the point in that? Don't you want to make it available? Oh, no, I'm not interested. Don't want to have a company. No. And so then I just said, well, okay, I've noticed that Brits are very shy about asking for money, right? But Americans aren't. And I just thought, you know what? I'll just hold up my hand. They can do the science, and I'll just ask for the money. So I began to fundraise for regenerative medicine projects, spin-outs at the University of Oxford. Regenerative medicine, because these were the orphans. The pharmaceutical products, you know, all the big pharma companies are going after them because there are patents and they've got teams of patent lawyers who can litigate if somebody infringes on their patents. But with regenerative stuff, you're one and done, right? Stem cells, this could be, we don't know, but what some of these academics were saying was, well, if we stimulate your own production of stem cells, this could cure you. So I began to work for them and, you know, developed contacts within the Oxford ecosystem. And one of the guys at Oxford Science Enterprises, which is a big fund, an investment fund here, said, hey, Leslie, there's something in the immunology and rheumatology department that you might be interested in. It's a food. And the research is really compelling. It'll never get funded because there's no patent, but you should, you know, you might
be interested. Yeah, you can't patent fund the food, can you?
Yeah, exactly.
That's always the problem, isn't it, that big pharma has.
Yes.
Yeah, so, don't so eat an apple because we can't patent them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But take this synthetic variant, yeah, which we have a patent on. So I thought, okay, I'll go take a look because rheumatology, obviously rheumatoid arthritis, very interested. I saw the research and it was on basically rejuvenating immune function in mice that were age matched to elderly humans. And they were able to do this. And I thought, okay, let's look at more research. And I came across paper after paper. There were something like 13,000 papers on this class of essentially amino acid products called polyamines. And it was safe and it's in the food supply. And for instance, the healthy centenarians around the world, they eat this in great quantities. And
in what food are we talking about?
Well, for example, in Okinawa, which is known for its centenarians, they have a year-long fermented soybean dish called natto, N-A-T-T-O.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you can find it in all fermented foods. I'm sorry, not in alcohol, but in cheese, hard, mature cheeses. And things like the endosperm of any grain, like wheat germ. So these are things that get thrown out of the current food supply because they're also high in omega-6 fatty acids. So they go rancid quickly and it reduces the shelf life for, say, bread. So I looked at those things and at those studies, and I just thought, I don't understand why no one wants to bring this to market, because who cares if you have a patent? There is a thing called a brand, and Coca-Cola and Pepsi are brands and they don't have patents. They're basically brown sugar water. So why don't we just create a brand? I think people have heard of Oxford before. And that's when Oxford HealthSpan was born. So we ended up launching during COVID. I did have one moment of, is this a good time to launch? And I asked Professor Katja Simon in immunology at Oxford, is this a good time to launch? And she was like, now more than ever, we need to improve people's immune systems.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anything to help support the immune system, she said. So so we did launch. And
so the brand is called Primadine. We should say that to start with. So
Primadine is our first product. Primadine. Yeah, exactly.
So what is it and what does it do?
So it contains a molecule called spermidine. No giggles.
Yeah, exactly. We love that word. Let's just get this out into the open just to make sure everyone's heard us. It's called spermidine. So just give us the lowdown on that.
Okay. It is.
I noticed that you have been labeled the high priestess of sex.
Yes, there's that too, but
digressing.
No, there's no connection. It just means that I am, therefore, I have no qualms about talking about semen or the fact that semen contains high quantities of, yes, sperm and this other molecule called spermidine.
Right.
Actually, spermidine is what DNA wraps itself around as it goes as a sperm swims towards the egg. It needs to take a really tiny package of information, and spermidine allows that. But spermidine is a natural anti-inflammatory, and it turns out that making sperm and semen is a high reactive oxygen species event, i.e. it's very inflammatory. And so you want a little bit of spermidine to protect against that. But ladies, it's in breast milk in huge quantities, all of us produce it. As you and I speak right now, our tissues, our gut biome are making spermidine. Your dog, your cat, your grandma, your niece, everybody makes it. Babies have it in the highest quantities possible, partly because their tissues are making it at great speed. It allows for cell turnover.
When you say we make it, what do we do with it then? I mean, clearly,
for cellular growth.
We don't ejaculate it, right?
No, we
guys
don't ejaculate
maybe do,
it.
But we don't, right? So what do we do with it?
Yeah, and actually, poor guys that they lose it because it's a resource. don't blow it, right?
So what we make, our body uses, is that the idea?
Our body uses it for everything from well, the big thing that it does is it allows the cells to multiply very faster, very much faster, but it also allows the cells to engage in cell renewal and recycling, a process called autophagy. And the 2016 Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology was awarded to a Japanese scientist that we work with, Yoshinori Osumi, and he discovered how that autophagy process works. And there are scientists who say that we don't age. Sorry, autophagy doesn't slow. Cell renewal doesn't slow because we get older. Rather, that autophagy slows down, or dysfunctional autophagy happens, and that's what ages us.
Right, right.
Which is fascinating, because then if we can kickstart it again, then we have the opportunity to slow aging.
As we get older, we will be producing less of the
We can. It's not in the healthy centenarian populations. They still produce the same quantities as 50-year-olds. And it's just that population between 60 and say 90, or 60 and 80, really, people tend to get very sick in that age bracket. In those 20 years, you get very sick. And there you notice that the median amount of spermidine actually declines in the overall population. But once those individuals die, all of a sudden, the people who've survived, guess what? Their spermidine levels just as high as people in their 50s. So the gut is always a great place to produce it, as long as our gut biome is healthy. Mm. But guess what? If you've been exposed to a lot of broad spectrum antibiotics, you kill off those populations of healthy bacteria that can manufacture spermidine for you.
Right.
So as a result, it's very important to feed those bacterial populations with the things they like. So they like prebiotics, resistant starches. And they like fructooligosaccharides, ironically, another big component of breast milk. Mm. And, the theory is that the reason why breast milk is full of polyamines and also fructooligosaccharides, I think about 50% is fructooligosaccharides. The baby's nascent digestive system cannot actually process that resistant starch, but it's there to feed the gut bugs that the mother has bequeathed to the baby as it pushes through the birth canal, pushes on the cecum, and gets that first donation from the mother of healthy bacteria. Mm. So that's quite fascinating. And our product has a fructooligosaccharide as well as the spermidine, just like breast milk.
Because I guess what we're saying is, there'll be plenty of us who didn't get enough of that first time around. Maybe if it was a cesarean birth, we wouldn't have got the amounts we need. And then as time goes on, presumably there are things that impact on it. So I suppose what you're saying is we can't necessarily get enough of these very important things in a regular diet.
Yeah. So the healthy centenarians are getting around 56 milligrams of spermidine, at least in their food. We don't know how much they're digesting. Brits on average and Americans get around 8 milligrams.
Wow.
It's a vast difference. Mm. It really is. And that's just in the food. We don't know, again, how much they're absorbing. And you know the importance of things like digestive enzymes.
Yeah.
If the gut can't actually absorb it, then that's problematic, right?
Yeah. So the in the spermidine product then, that gives us extra of this stuff, presumably. Is there any kind of contraindications? Is there any reasons why we would not want to be taking it?
Well, So we have Primadine Original is made from defatted, highly concentrated wheat germ. So if you are celiac, I'm sorry, that product is not for you. If you have SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or candida, you're probably going to have trouble with the fructooligosaccharide with the resistant starch. And you probably know this already. You may burp a lot if you've got candida, or say an H. pylori overgrowth. You may burp or belch a bit when you have vegetables or fruit. So that wouldn't work for you. We do have another product, Primadine GF, which is gluten-free, and that's derived from Okinawan chlorella, a unique substrain. Mm. And we add in some Okinawan lime peel and some Okinawan turmeric, and all three anti-inflammatories, all three autophagy or cell renewal and recycling activators. And that a celiac would be able to take, for instance. Mm. Yeah. As chlorella has a small amount of naturally occurring iron, and it also has naturally occurring vitamin D and vitamin K, which are clotting factors. Well, K is a clotting factor. You can't take it if you've got, say, hemochromatosis, which is too much iron, or if you're on warfarin, a blood thinner, because obviously there's a natural coagulant in vitamin K and some of that naturally occurring iron. But otherwise, it would be fine.
Mm. And I'm guessing all of this information is on your website.
It is. Yeah, if people are curious and want to delve in.
Yeah. But I'm guessing that as a general rule, then what you're saying is that this actually would be beneficial. You know, I mean, what often happens with people listening to this is they've stopped drinking, or they're in the process of stopping drinking. And perhaps for the first time, they're starting to realize, oh my God, what damage have I done to my body? And how can I get well? You know, and they're really starting to realize the importance of good food. And I always stress the importance of, particularly in the early weeks of stopping drinking, you really need good, really good food. No fasting, no missing meals, proper you know, proper real food, get a protein with every meal, get the great omega-3s. I always recommend fermented foods wherever possible, and you know, and all of this stuff. And so often people really get into this and they start to think, okay, and what else can I add in that will support my moving forward? And of course the changing people is usually phenomenal after a few months, and so many long standing health issues, they absolutely go. And honestly, if you could bottle this and sell it, wouldn't it be, you know, sobriety?
Yeah. It's like, absolutely.
I mean, everyone fully expects to be able to sleep better and have better energy and better skin. But oh my God, my eyesight got better. I mean, who knew? Literally, who knew?
It's fascinating, isn't it?
What we're saying is this would benefit lots of people.
And I can give you some concrete ways. So for somebody who has anybody who has drunk a lot is going to have had damage to their liver.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay, so you have fatty liver disease. There'll be fibrosis. And at least in mouse studies, they have actually shown that giving spermidine, and I caution this by saying this is a mouse study. We are not mice, but this is a food. So there's no harm in trying this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to do you any harm.
Exactly. In those mouse trials, they have been able to reverse the fibrosis. That's actually a pretty shocking thing. The other thing is that if you have hurt your liver, often that means that your glutathione, your superoxide dismutase, your catalase, all these great antioxidants in the liver are down, and you might get premature gray hair as a result. And one of the things that spermidine does is it puts the hair follicles back into the anagen or growth phase. And that is the only time that pigment production happens. So we've actually had people like this. This is a 79-year-old whose hair
just to explain what's in the picture for people who are just listening. So
in the picture, it's the top forehead of a woman who's 79, and you can see that only the roots are dark, but the ends are white. Yeah. And so that's that, you know, we have many more photos of that on our, you know, Instagram page. But that's something that would be really tangible, because you often don't know, is this supplement making a difference to my life?
Yeah, it can be hard to tell. Yeah.
Then there's sleep. We know that it affects two of the clock genes. So there are eight that we've discovered, and that helps modulate circadian rhythm. So that's one of the first things that people tell us, that if they've got a wearable tracking device like an Oura Ring or a Fitbit, they often see their deep or their REM sleep go up, sometimes both. And that can happen as soon as the very first night, which is amazing. The other thing specific to your audience would be something called SAMe. Do you know this molecule?
No.
Okay, so SAMe is something. It's called S-adenosyl methionine, and it's related to happy mood.
Oh, and we like that.
You like that, exactly. So SAM, S-A-M, and then hyphen little e is what it's called. And people, at least in the United States, take it as a supplement. But guess what? When you make spermidine, you need SAMe in order to make that. So L-arginine and SAMe together are what you need. Now, if you're topping up with external spermidine in your diet or in supplement form, you are basically sparing your body's stores of SAMe. So we do have people say, I don't know why, but I just feel calmer. I feel better, but I don't know why. And that would be that sparing of your S-adenosyl methionine reserves.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is great.
So if you were to take spermidine, is there anything that you might be taking that you definitely won't also need, if you see what I mean? So in other words, if you take spermidine, you'd still need to, I mean, I recommend that everyone takes vitamin C, vitamin D.
Yeah, of course.
You'd still
course.
Need those,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's not,
yeah.
it's as well as, not instead of those kinds of supplements.
Yeah, no, of course. This isn't add on. And I always tell people, get it from your diet first. You can get it from shiitake mushrooms. You can get it, like I said, from cheese. Okay, if your doctor says you've got high cholesterol, maybe you need to watch that. But there
what
are
about
places
from
you can get it.
Things like sauerkraut, fermented foods like sauerkraut?
Anything fermented will have That's some good. In it.
The kombucha, only thing what about is, kombucha?
No, I don't. I've never come across anything saying that has it.
Okay.
But what I will say is that any plant will have some amount of it. The question is, how much are you retaining? How much, how easily absorbable is it?
Yeah.
And how convenient is it for you with your lifestyle to get those things in your diet? So once you have made the attempt to get it first from food, if you want to top up, then you can use this supplement. So for instance, people who have lost their hair after, for instance, having a virus, people who've lost their hair because they've had a baby. Why is this happening? Because our bodies make the decision for us that the species needs to continue, and therefore the mother is going to give all her spermidine in the form of breast milk to her baby.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing
hair,
left for us.
No, the hair doesn't matter. And so it takes a while for a mother to build that reserve of spermidine back up through her diet and tissues and get her hair back. And same with viruses. So spermidine activates a process called virophagy, similar to autophagy. And basically think of autophagy as a giant garbage bag, and you're putting rubbish into it to get rid of it. It does the same thing with viruses. So if you've got a viral infection, your body's going to say, sorry, hair, I'm going to take all the spermidine and I'm going to use it to basically bag up these viruses and destroy them.
Got it.
And that's why then you might find about 6 to 8 weeks after you've had a virus, you lose a lot of hair. So if you want to then top up, then a supplement is a great way to do it. But obviously, as we get older, I'm 58, and I don't want to dye my hair.
You've got amazingly shiny hair.
Yeah, I that is something that people say to us, is that the texture of their hair changes. So even if they don't get the color back, they say that in fact their colorists tell them that their white hair accepts color more readily. Which is interesting. And that's the kind of thing for me, because I know my body's after 50, you're just not producing so much. So, or there's a high chance if you've had a Western diet and exposure to these broad spectrum antibiotics, you're just not producing the way you used to. Yeah. So for me, I top up daily.
How fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Leslie. It's really fascinating. We're going to give all the details. And in fact, we've even got a discount code. So thank you for that, which
Absolutely.
I'll share with the audience and put it in the show notes. That's really great. So are you, you're completely well. So you haven't, you no longer have these diagnoses.
No.
How fantastic, no. Honestly. No. It's just, I just love stories like this. I love it. Fantastic.
Well,
how amazing.
Everyone is capable. Much easier for the body to be in balance than to be off of its balance point, right?
Yeah, totally.
We just have to be kind to ourselves and nourish ourselves.
Yeah. Leslie Kenny, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Absolutely fascinating to chat to you. And I wish you all the best and huge success with the product. Well, presumably it's doing fantastically well. Is that you selling all around the world?
In 59 countries around the world.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Fantastic.
Thank you.
And isn't that amazing that just, you know, this is, I always find it so fascinating that these things come about because of someone absolutely passionate about something that happened to them, right? I guess you could never have imagined you'd be doing this all those years ago.
Selling Spermidine? I don't think so. Yeah, Mom, I want to grow up and sell Spermidine.
You must have had a couple of thoughts. Is that going to be the right name for this? You must have thought that to yourself.
I
guess you made a conscious choice.
The instant I heard it, I said, that needs a marketing plan to rebrand. That's why it's called Primadine.
But I mean, you aren't just being, exactly. But you aren't just being facetious. There's a proper story behind it, right?
Oh, yeah. No, there's a proper story behind it. But I like to say it's Primadine for the new prime of life and also to make it easier for my mother to go out and buy it and ask for it at the health food store.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Leslie.
Likewise.
Thank you, Leslie. So if you would like to get your hands on this fantastic supplement, there is a discount code. We've got 15% off if you use the code Janie Lee at the checkout. That's JaneyLee. I think it's capitals at their checkout to get 15% off. I'll put that in the show notes, or you can go to the blog post, which is on the Sober Club or on my imperfectlynatural.com website. So you've got a few places to find that. You may as well try it out and use the discount at the same time. And just a reminder, get yourself connected if you're not already. Do join us in the Sober Club. Reach out if you're doing this for the first time. Download our ebook for free, Sobriety Rocks, Top Tips for a Successful Dry January. It's a collection of insights and tips from some of the sober coaches that I've trained. If that's something that interests you, by the way, our next training is full, but then we have another one that I'm now booking for at the end of April. So drop me a message if that's of interest to you. Look forward to seeing some of you on Sunday the 7th for our online workshop, Setting Your Intentions. I think there's a few spaces left. You'll have to go to thesoberclub.com, click on events. Really looking forward to really getting down and dirty into what's in store for 24 and what it is you really want for your future coming up. So if you're doing this, if you're in the middle of dry January or you're just the first week or whatever, give yourself a huge pat on the back. This is going to be the best thing you will ever do for your health and well-being. So once again, if I haven't already said it, Happy New Year, and I'll see you same time next week, or maybe I'll see you Sunday for our workshop. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.